May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're spending some time this week looking at different aspects or scenes or people involved uniquely in the resurrection of Christ, and specifically kind of obsessing about the life of Mary. And just reflecting on why Mark 16 says what it says about Mary, that she was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to in his resurrected state. That's been something that's fascinated me for many years, and I've every year continue when I get, not just during Easter season, but I'll a couple of times a year I find myself obsessing once again to discover more about Mary Magdalene's life and why she held such a special place in her relationship with the Lord, why she was honored that way. One of the things that I wrote last night is that God honors most those who honor him most. Now understand, again, when I say that, I'm not saying that Jesus loves certain people more than he does other people, or he's given some people more than he's given every believer. We have all the with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But everyone's experience is not the same. And I don't mean that your vocation isn't the same in the Lord. I'm talking about the fact that not everyone, the degree to which his adequacy and his sufficiency will be measured at some level by the degree to which you press in to his intimacy. It's a relationship. It's not a formula. And one of the things about Mary is how she pressed in so much that I believe in a place of honor, where she got to experience and see some things that maybe most don't. Even some of the disciples didn't. She was honored by Jesus revealing himself in the resurrection before Peter or John or James, those, of course, even the mother of Christ. So that's been sort of that running question. It's not just so why, I kind of get why, but I want to kind of see more, there's a bigger picture. So I keep studying this life of Mary Magdalene, and this that I read yesterday, but I wanted to kind of focus on, is just the fact, again, that Jesus honored her and it's because her actions exhibited where her heart was. She just couldn't stay away. She was always pressing in to be as close to him as she possibly could. We looked at the fact that yesterday she was with, recorded, that she was with a group of other women who were watching the crucifixion occur from a distance. Point, she makes her way down to the cross. And there's Mary, the mother of Christ, Mary's sister, and Mary Magdalene, and then the Apostle John. She and one other person watched where they were going to lay the tomb, and at some point, lay Jesus, what tomb? And at some point, she separated herself and went all the way to where she was sitting across from the tomb. It's like she just couldn't, just had to keep pressing in, because that's where her heart was. She had decided early on after her first encounter that his life was worth her wasting her life on and wasting her heart on him. But the thing I thought about last night was, why is John the one who records that Mary was at the cross? The other three writers had to know that was a reality, but somehow John alone was given permission to record that happened. Matthew didn't, Mark didn't. Paul's writer of the gospel, Luke, didn't, but the story was well known. It was a historical fact. There were a number of things, actually, in the gospel of John that's unique. Much of the gospel of John is unique, and there are things that John is able to say, like the I thirst, it is finished, those kind of things that John alone was able to record, because I believe that God honored him that way, because he had honored the Lord in such a way that God, in response, honored him. If you remember, John's the one, we've mentioned this before, who had come to a place where his own identity was that he was the disciple. This is the language, this is the grammar, that Jesus was always loving. He first identified himself that way in the upper room the night before the crucifixion when he laid his head on the breast of Jesus. Head on the breast of Jesus. He heard, not the physical, but the emotional, spiritual heartbeat of Christ. And he carried that with him the rest of his life. From that point forward in John 13, the other four times he referenced himself in the Gospel of John, he always used whom Jesus was always loving. This one, in verse 26, after referencing the fact that Mary Magdalene was at the cross, The very next verse says, when Jesus saw his mother and a disciple whom he was always loving. You see, I believe that John had been struck with divine madness, just like Mary Magdalene. One of my favorite writers, ancient writers, was Catherine of Siena. She said a lot of amazing things, had amazing encounters with the Lord, ecstatic encounters with the Lord, very charismatic believer. I don't mean that she was had a great personality, charismatic in the sense that she had a lot of supernatural things happen to her. And when she defined the love of God that drove him for his only son to go to the cross, she referred to the cross as God's divine madness. That he was so in love with us, that divine madness, what else would ever do. Listen to this little scripture from, kind of give you an example of where Catherine Siena is coming from. This is from Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 6. Let me just start at verse 3. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I love that. It's amazing. While we were helpless, we could do nothing to our situation. It was all grace. One will hardly die for a righteous man. Someone would dare to even die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. He demonstrates his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it wasn't like he died for the deserving. He died for those who had made themselves enemies of God. He wasn't our enemy. We were his enemy. He so loved us. He demonstrated the love for us while we were still enemies. That's what Catherine Siena called divine madness. We talked about that with Mary Magdalene, about how she was accused of wasting the perfume from the alabaster vial. And Jesus said, what she's done will be remembered wherever the gospel is preached. For the gospel is to provoke a heart to respond in divine madness back to him. That if he would waste himself, give what he couldn't afford, give it excess to us, we would respond in excessive loving him and extravagant obedience to him. I believe that's why John recorded this. Why did John feel like it was important that he write this down? And why was he the only one that either the Holy Spirit gave permission or all the other guys too said, you're the only one who really should record that? I don't know. It was obviously an honor to him who was the disciple whom Jesus was always loving. He had been struck by divine madness, and he lived the rest of his life in divine madness, affected by divine madness, wholly cursed with divine madness. And he was important to him that he include the story of another one who also was struck with divine madness, Mary Magdalene. Someone who could relate to that would be an Apostle Paul, who on the Damascus Road was struck with divine madness and was right about himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, he said, look, if we're beside ourselves, it's for God. But if we try to act like we have a sound mind, it's for you. In other words, he was saying, I know that people say I'm crazy and I act crazy. And the next verse he says, but the love of Christ controls us. He said, I'm crazy because divine madness has struck me. And the life I live before him is crazy love. It's the reciprocated holy madness. That when you really get divine madness, it's the only response we can give. The whole gospel is a lovesick story. It's the lovesickness of God, the divine madness of God that caused him to give his only son. Here we have, think about, did anyone love him more than Mary, his mother? Did anyone love him more than John, the disciple? He's loving you and me, yes, but John got that. That's the filter through which he had a self-consciousness. That's a normal Christian sense of identity, that you're in Christ and you're the disciple whom he's always loving. No matter what, he was wrecked forever. To have Mary, the mother of Jesus, we don't know much about Mary, the mother of Clopas, but it's Mary's sister, to have John and then to have Mary Magdalene. A bunch of crazy people who weren't afraid, who couldn't because they wanted to be a possibly could, no matter what. They couldn't help themselves. They were driven mad by the love of Christ. May that happen to me. May that happen to you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.